catch us when we fall. You patch our souls when we will sprawl. You are the world for living a life in honesty. We needed more time probably. You are the one. You're giving a life of joy and fun. And we turn ourselves from the lost and gone.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the 50-Minute Rev. You know, I thought that was going to cut on into that other video, but it didn't, obviously. I've got to fix that. I hate that. Anyway, welcome to the 50-Minute Rev. Dr. Melissa Hood here, if I can speak correctly. I want to welcome everybody this afternoon. And I actually, I don't usually do lives on Tuesdays, but today I feel very, very led to. I have a hard prophetic word, and it's for church leaders. And so I believe that we're definitely entering into a time of judgment. Most definitely, after you hear the word today, you're going to understand why. But a lot of things going on. Before we get started, I want to thank Smack Talk Radio and Margaret Rowe for everything that they do for us. Also, want to wish Margaret Rowe a happy birthday. I'm going to put this up on the screen real quick to always tell her thank you for everything that she does. This is her with Priscilla Presley. Again, Margaret, we can't do what we do without you and Smack Talk. So thank you for everything that you do. I hope you're having a wonderful day today in celebrating yourself and the day that God gave you. So, but thank you so much. And we just appreciate everything that she does for us to help us bring the word of the Lord to you. But if you haven't checked out her stuff yet, you need to go over to her website, margaretrowe.com. She's actually just put out her newest collection. She's got six new collections right now, but the biggest one that's out right now is Heaven's Presence. And so it's got some beautiful designs with earrings, bracelets, different things like that. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. And she's selling to the stars. She's selling to people like Stevie Nicks, Heidi Klum, Priscilla Presley, people like that. So you want to go check her stuff out. So she's up and coming, just beautiful designer, beautiful inside and out too. You want to get her stuff. But anyway, go treat yourself to something nice today. She's got something for any budget, and there's payment plans for people with more expensive tastes. But how are you to do? How are you doing today? I was surprised by the word that came forth today, actually. I'm very, very surprised. To kind of give you some background on Margaret and I and our affiliation, we and why we work together. Margaret is a member of my family, and she was married to my cousin Brett Rowe, who was a producer in Hollywood. He's a Christian producer. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. And that's who we wrote our book about when he was diagnosed with cancer. It's called Just a Conversation Away. Not plugging the book, just giving you an idea of how we came together. But I actually, for myself, I'm a retired theatrical costume designer. And I was used by God in live production for churches for, about first 10 years of my experience, but also on the sides designing live production for different plays and things like that for universities. And then I went in to TV and film for another 10. So I've got about 28 years total, I guess. But God called me out of film and back into church, into this arena, which I'm very, very surprised at. But it's what it is. And so, but Margaret dresses you from the outside as a stylist, and I'm used by God to prophetically dress you from within. And so when you listen to the truth prophets, you're truly blessed. And so that's how we came together, and that's why God's using she and I right now. We both each have our own brands, and obviously, you know, she designs jewelry, and I'm out of the costume arena, but I still enjoy it. I'm not going to lie. I still enjoy it. Have a lot of people, a lot of friends in the arena, and obviously now God is doing a huge cleanup there. And by the way, did you hear that Mark Wahlberg, Sylvester Stallone, and Denzel Washington have gotten together to put together a production company that's only producing really high quality, traditional family value films. And they're bringing back conservatism again and within the film industry. And I was actually wondering if that was going to happen. Because I was thinking, if they clean out Hollywood, which needs to be, how are we going to, you know, bring back the industry? Because I'm into old Hollywood. And oh my goodness, let me pull this up too. Peggy just attended an event last night that, and she did it just for me. Actually, she did it for herself, but she knows I'm a major costumer. And so, shoot, man, I got to get this up. Let's see if I can get this up on the screen for you to see. But she went to a Bob Mackie event last night. And let me see if I can get this to play for you. I'm going to share my screen so you can see this too. This is rock and roll. So she went to a Bob Mackie event. And if you know anything about Bob Mackie studied under, he's a legend. And he studied underneath my hero, Edith Head, who designed for Marilyn Monroe. And so this is some of the stuff that he designed for Cher as well. He also designs for Pink. And this is the event last night that Margaret attended. But you can see the design plates down below. And also Carol Burnett was there last night. So it's actually really, really a lot of fun. And so Margaret, thank you so much for doing that. I know you did that for you too, but it was just so cool. It was very, very cool. So, but yeah. These are the things that I was involved in when I was in film and whatnot. And so I'm going to totally fade that out so that we can get on with our conversation. And Bob Mackie walking up to the stage at that event last night in LA. So, yeah, it was totally a cool event. You can check it out on my social media. And so I'm going to zip that out and get me back on into the conversation with you so we can start our conversation. Yeah. So where are we at right now? Where are we at with you and I, and where are you at in your walk? If you haven't noticed, for the past 60 years, nobody has ever questioned leaders or the running of our government or churches. Nobody. Nobody did it. Nobody dared because it wasn't appropriate, right? We lived our lives and we just did what was expected of us, and they did what they did, whether it was wrong or right. But also, we never had to deal with the level of corruption that we're now dealing with in society, right? So when there's a need and God sees the need and he's tired of man's deeds, then he's going to come in and he's going to force a cleanup, which is where we now find ourselves. Okay, so we're having to deal with getting real with ourselves now and with God about what we have allowed to come inside, not just as a church, but as a nation. Can you guys pray against the witchcraft, please? They're blocking the flow. Thank you. Not really, because they can't block God. So, Lord, if that's not you, let it fall to the ground. Lamentations 3, 37 to 38, nullified. Thank you. Thank you. Just like that. Boom, shika, boom. So there you go. Okay, so God is now demanding the cleanup. He's demanding a cleanup. And actually, it's the thing that's hindered us as the body from entering into maturity to where heaven and earth could collide, because God is coming back for a pure, spotless bride who's loyal and true to him, to where everyone sees now who is who. He's separating us out from within. He's trying to see if you're going to obey him or continue doing what you do. So what we're seeing, what I believe we're seeing is one of the biggest crap shows on the planet, where everybody thinks that they know which prophets are true, with false prophets trying to label the truth prophets false, where they're the ones that don't even know who's boss. That's the truth. What's the title of today's Rev? Let me tell you, this will kind of give you an indication of what we're talking about. It's called False versus True Prophets, God's Confrontation, where he's settling accounts. And that was a scary thing that he said to me today. He's settling accounts now. You understand that, right? So he's dismantling perverse leaders. That's the last part of that title. But he's settling accounts, which means judgment is here. There's no getting out of it anymore. There's no running away from it. If you think you've gotten away from it, today's word is going to make that perfectly clear. And before I go any further, I want to just say this for the record in front of the Lord and everybody. There are a few of you true prophets out there that I highly respect. And I am, first of all, I want to label and identify Kat Kerr. She's a very, very true prophetess. And she's a doubly anointed prophetess from the tribe of Issachar. She's a Taurus. There are four signs and four tribes that have a double portion. That's going to be Asher, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Simeon, and the tribe of Manasseh. Four times throughout the year when you get a chance to double up on everything that you want God to do for you in that area. If you've gotten behind, you need to ask him about that. We're now in C2. So if you haven't noticed the witchcraft, then you've got your head in the sand. Because it's everywhere. And it's very cunning this year. So, but thank you as well. I want to thank Kent Christmas. And I want to thank Hank Kuhneman out there for their godliness and standing up for truth and righteousness. You both have earned my deepest respect. And I actually want to ask Hank Kuhneman publicly to forgive me. Because I judged him and I thought, oh, you're just like everybody else. But he really has proven himself, and especially he and Kent Christmas, to be very, very true blue. Because you both have backbone, which is a rare commodity in this day and time. We need more people like you. We actually need more people like you. And so I thank God for these types and these men and women who are standing up on the front lines, regardless of what man says about them. Because if you're a truth prophet, you realize you're being used by God to help the sheep enter in, right? And in this day and time, you can't be afraid of what men say about you. It doesn't matter. They don't control your soul or where your soul's going to go. But see, I'm not going to hell for anybody. I'm not. And so I'm not going to walk around with anybody's blood on my hands either for disobeying the king. So I'm called to decree a thing as a double truth prophetess. And so this is where God uses me. If you're at the 11 o'clock hour, we go from 1 to 12 in our signs, know the signs and the times. And so we're all accountable for where God has positioned us in his timing. Just so happens to be time is getting late and it's time for the divine. It's not the time of God's wrath. It's the time of God's power. Okay, so let's get back in. What is witchcraft hitting us with most in this hour before we jump into this morning? I believe that witchcraft, the occult, is focusing heavily on the dysfunctional church right now because they're prime pickings. They're prime pickings for the enemy to where he can use them at a whim. That's because you haven't gotten cleaned up from yourself. And so the enemy can use you against yourself easily or against others that he deems a threat to the bride. Or a threat, especially the bride. He's deeming the bride a threat. And so he's using these types of people who are dysfunctional to distract, to hinder, or to delay the bride from coming inside. And so it's so bad right now that we are seeing elemental witchcraft, which is water, fire, earth, and air. That's what they use. Now, if you know God's heart, C1, 2, 3, and 4 is made up of water, fire, earth, and spirit, not air, spirit. And so you're hopefully being elevated into higher levels of God's seven spirits as you are invited to come in through the ninth of Av, coming inside and having been activated by the Lord so he can use you at higher dimensions. But this year, everything's on the line. And so hence, this is why I believe we're seeing the higher levels of witchcraft starting to affect us. But the witches themselves, the occult, are activating the dysfunctional church. Pardon me. They hit me like that too. They've been activating the dysfunctional church by placing these pollutants into their atmospheres of anyone the enemy is trying to hinder from drawing nearer to the king. Okay. And so what are the elements of witchcraft do to you? Have you ever experienced them? Do you know how to, do you know how to identify them when they hit you? Let me give you an example. This whole last 4 days, if you feel like you've been walking through waves of water in the spirit, that's water witchcraft. Those are water witches. There are water witches, fire witches, earth witches, air witches. You understand that? It's all based on their horoscopical sign. Are they a water sign, a water, an air sign, a fire sign? It's all based on that. So they're utilizing these witches and their signs within the chambers of God's heart that we're moving through. Now fire witches are being ignited. It doesn't mean they're not going to use the rest of the water and the air and the earth witches, because they mix and match the signs. They mix and match their gifts, just like God uses you like that. That's why he's introducing you to your sign as well as to your tribe. Know your God, know yourself. If I know my weaknesses better than you know me, you can't control me. Okay. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. So, but these witches do 1,000 different things, but mainly this last week, if you feel like you've been walking through water or heavy crap, that's what I call it. These are the water witches working against you. You're going to have to take authority over them and over their signs, spells, and magic. Signs, spells, and magic. Layered, structured, written, spoken, frontwards or backwards. Bind that. Okay, so you're going to do it on the cosmos, NATO, federal, state, city, county, and personal level. You're going to bind it just like that. Get it out of your dimensions. Ask God to pull it down. And if it's not, this is the thing for anybody that's praying the word illegally. By the way, if you're not redeemed, boy, God's got a word for you. Woo! You people are majorly losing firepower right now. And he's doing exactly what he told us he would do. Because as of 2 weeks ago, the spiritual laws have narrowed even more. So the more he narrows the law and you're pulled up, but you haven't gotten cleaned up yet, guess who's not being heard by the Lord? That's you. So if you are non-redeemed, if you are trying to use the word of the king, because God is the word, John 1:2, where it says, in the beginning was the word was of God, and the word was God. If you're thinking that you're going to use the word of God by a perverse spirit operating through you because you refuse to get cleaned up from the things that operate in your bloodline or your own hidden sin, Lord says, guess what? I'm not hearing you. I'm not obligated to. I don't listen to demons, says the Lord. They have no authority over Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. God says, I've given you all power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and anything that exalts itself above the throne of God. So we're finding out who knows the word in this place, okay? Who knows the law? And so you've got to know spiritual laws here. You've got to know what's your legal right in the courts of heaven and what's your legal right to overtake these things. And so if you're going to press through this contraction point two, the Lord's saying you need to stay extremely focused, because the witchcraft in this hour is very subtle and the attacks are more cunning than we've ever experienced them before. And so cunning meaning they're observing everybody. They're observing to try to find out your heart's desires or things that they think you may want or be tempted by. And then they're going to send in these distractions on the side. That's what's been happening to me. And I knew it was like they're trying to pull me away from my destiny and calling. And I thought, are you just stuck on stupid, or have you lost your ever-loving mind? Most of you are that are stuck in this witchcraft crap. And so God's not even allowing that to stick, because he's showing us all that. He's showing all the bride, all these things. He's showing us these things. He's ordering our footsteps. But he started calling the dysfunctional church to me this last week. He started saying, the witchy church is being used by the cult. The witchy church. He kept saying that over and over. The witchy church. I thought, the witchy church. What's the witchy church? And he said, it's those that refuse to get cleaned up by me. Hence, they act just like their enemy. They've sold out. They've committed treason against the king. And God says, you don't think I see these things? I thought, oh, gosh. And so the witchy church is now being controlled by the occult, through spells, laws, and magic against their emotions, their mind, will, and emotions, because they're in a lurch. And it's used to cause confusion within the body, using the unhealed areas of man to attack one another so the enemy can destroy God's people from within at deeper levels. You got to pay attention to what's going on around you. And you got to stay up and continue getting free from you if you want to continue moving up and into higher firepower. But they're hitting, basically, the occult is hitting the less informed church with major witchcraft now, major demons that have been released to make them act out or get defensive, offended by using demons in their bloodlines to attack the bride to keep her from coming deeper into the heart of God or coming inside. But God, thank God, because the good news for the bride is that God says, I've made you indestructible, undefeatable, and preserved by the King in all that you do so that nothing can stop what I'm about to do through you, says the Lord. This was all created from the beginning. Okay, God wasn't going to send you into this battle alone. Some are given the gift of faith, others joy. Very few are given the gift of love. Okay, so if that's true, then if God gave you himself as a gift, he's not going to send you into this battle alone. He made sure that he would win, that his people would win, which is why he gave you big prayer positionings. He's given you big dreams, and every one of them are coming to pass. So if you feel like you're walking through water, unholy waters, you are. It's called elemental water witchcraft to keep the bride bogged down. But God is drying that up now to where nothing the occult does works to keep us out of the deeper dimensions of truth. That's where we're stepping into. So praise God. He's faithful in all that he does. Is this you? I hope this is you. Which brings us to the word. And wow, this is where it's fixing to get really, really intense real fast. So I'm just going to release the word. I've gotten our chairman of our board's permission for this word today. It's that steep. She knows it's of the Lord too. So we're just going to see what God has to say about this thing. But it's based on 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 16, 23. Father, whatever they're trying to stop, I ask you, Father, to shatter it off. Exodus 15, 6 in Jesus' name. You don't have that power over me. How stupid are you watching like that? Thinking you're going to stop the king? Go get stuck on stupid somewhere else. I don't have patience for you today. Neither does God. By the way, by the time this word finishes, you're going to see why he doesn't have any patience with you anymore. He's coming for you, all of you. If you don't get your butt in check and get your butt cleaned up, that's what he's saying to you. But this is what he also told Saul. When he orders a thing, and his orders are very, very clear, but yet man's motives are off, causing man to fall. So God had actually told Saul what to do. Yet Saul wanted to do what he wanted to do. He could have cared less what God had told him. And then he disobeyed God, and he began to incur mega losses in warfare, which occurred because Saul lied to the prophet Samuel, who had warned him, because Saul was more afraid of men than he was of the king. This is what we're looking at with the prophets right now. We see the truth prophets, the differentiation between the truth prophets who are standing in truth. They're standing on what God told them to do. And they're standing against, we're all standing against much adversity right now because of all the fake prophets trying to talk politics and stuff. By the way, I looked that up, and Jesus never got involved in politics. Not ever, ever. Go look it up. Go read the word. Another example of people not reading the word. They just stood on the word of God, and they said only what God said. Now, because the way the Lord led me is I got so sick of listening to this diatribe back and forth and wondering about a thing, thinking, they don't know what's going on. These people don't know what's going on. They don't know their head from a hole in the wall. They're just regurgitating what each other's saying. And they're going, and saying, listening to other fake prophets or people that they think are true, even true prophets. And then they're regurgitating their crap. They're not spending time with the king to see what he has to say about a thing. Because had they been, they would have been speaking the truth and they would have been coming out from amongst them, Abraham. You wouldn't have felt led to participate with them. That's not what truth said to do in this hour. So it meant more to you to have the approval of man than it did to have the approval of God. This is becoming very evident now. So I had to ask myself when I was reading this thing about Saul, I was thinking, how stupid can one person be? Really? When God tells us as prophets and apostles to do a certain thing, yet we begin to think more of our fivefold giftings and to where we make excuses for doing what we want to do instead of obeying the king. Is this you? Pray to God not. Pray to God not. So then you have to come to the place then when God holds you accountable for a thing, where you have no one to blame but yourself when God takes you through discipline or judgment, which is where we've entered in. He told you he was coming into the room. He's already here. Judgment's here. And so this isn't the only bad thing. Because now, at this point in the process, King Saul has also lost his friend. He's lost Samuel. Samuel doesn't want to prophesy to him. This is happening to many leaders right now, where they are going from church to church to church. Their own friends aren't standing with them now. Have you noticed that? Their friends are sensing something is off about them. And they're like, they're pulling back because they feel like God is like, not this time. I'm not allowing you to prophesy or to step in and help them. But see, this is what the kicker is for Saul and Samuel. Samuel had anointed Saul king. So this was very personal. And people were beginning to see the heart of Saul around him. They were realizing he was only about himself and not for God anymore. And this is what happens to leaders when God begins dismantling them for doing their own thing. This is the season we are now in. And it's just one of many steps that God has now evoked onto those corrupt leaders who were so hell-bent on doing what they wanted to do to where God can no longer use them. This is the season we've stepped into. So they failed God. These leaders failed God. They have failed God today because Saul didn't seek the truth. He only sought out what made him feel comfortable, fearing what people may think or tell him he should do. He went on the advice of people? What? What can man do? Man is trying to get rid of his own flesh. He's all walking. Usually most men or women are trying to get rid of self. So yes, we do have a measure of wisdom, but we should be becoming solely reliant upon the king about right now, doing every single thing that he says to do or that he says to say. So we shouldn't have really anything to impart into this conversation today. Not at all. If we want to be used by him. But this is the predicament that we now find ourselves in with different leaders being separated, the truth from a lie, truth prophets from false prophets, because many haven't come inside. Yet they're stupid and arrogant enough to sit out there and run their mouth, acting like, oh, I've got the latest and greatest. No, you don't. You're a running waterfall and you're about to drown us all now. We're all regurgitating your lies. Not that I'm listening anymore. I stopped listening over 4 years ago, because I realized the pack of lies. I thought none of your stuff's coming to pass. You're just prophesying and prophelying and all this stuff. And a lot of you have been warned by truth apostles and prophets, by the way. They've already started to give you warnings. You need to change. Lest you lose your platform, says the Lord. And it's already kicking in now. Now it's a little bit late to be thinking about that. You're already at the door. But the kicker is that King Saul, this is what got him into trouble. This is what most of these lying prophets are doing now. They started blaming others for their own sins. And this is where the prophetic word kicks in. And the particular leader God is referring to in this hour, by the way, there's a particular leader God's having me refer to. And you're going to know who you are when you hear this word for you. because I'm releasing this over you right now with Psalms 33:9 and Psalms 149:9. You're under God's judgment too. And God says this, this particular leader that I'm referring to is caught up in bisexuality and child sex trafficking. And he's also abused his own son as well as many other innocents too. So God is about to oust him as he's diminished in major firepower. Because as you can see, the Lord says to you, there's no amount of firepower you can muster to overthrow the king. You can go to as many church leaders as you possibly can lie about or lie to play victim and try to pretend like you are the victim in the situation that you've created. Or to try to hide your own sin. But God says, I'm not only about to expose you, I'm exposing you from without and within. And you will never rise up again, says the Lord, especially to hurt innocent people. Not to mention this one. The Lord says that I'm speaking to, that I'm having the prophet speak to, this person. It's going to cost you everything in the end. Because your own allies and your own friends are now seeing what God has shown me as a truth prophet. So your attempt at hiding, says the Lord, is fruitless. Because the entire world is watching. The Lord says, so since you demanded your own way, I'm going to put you on full display, says the Lord. And how do I know this is true? How do you think I'm saying this to the truthful prophets out there right now that are true? Ask the Lord to show you what he's shown me. Ask him to bring you up into the corridors of truth so that you see everything about what the Lord has shown me about this person. Because they've used witchcraft over the truth prophets to keep you from seeing their sin. But how do I know this is true as a truth prophetess? Because the Lord says, you were once invited. This is to this person that's under judgment. You were once invited to a church in one of the feet of the nation. California and Florida are the feet of the nation. Kansas City's the heart. Texas is the womb. DC's the head of the nation. You were invited into one of the feet of the nation at a church there. It was the east foot to where you were never invited back again. Because that apostle saw spiritually what I'm describing on you. He saw bisexuality. Which has always been your hidden sin. It runs in your family. Your father abused you and your brother too, says the Lord. And it was something you never spoke about. And you're just repeating history because you refused to get free from you. But because the church didn't speak about these things back then, God allowed your sin to remain hidden to give you an opportunity to repent so that he could possibly restore you again. And why is this so egregious to the king? The thing that I'm describing about you, this person under judgment, why is God pointing this out? Because they don't believe it. They still have doubt, says the Lord. But the Lord says, show them what I showed you, Missy, a year ago about the young man who came to you. And I had a young man come to me a year ago who was a worship leader. He was a PK too. He was a preacher's kid. And he had the audacity to get up on the altar of God and lead worship. And his parents let him. And he was sent from another friend, but he's also caught up in homosexuality. But he was arrogant enough to speak to God in me. Not that I've arrived, but I had listened to his perverse diatribe to where he started discussing and mocking the Lord while he was telling me how he was leading worship while going back and forth and living his double life. So no doubt I knew God was fixing to deal with him. He was fixing to see the power of the king. And I confronted him in that moment. And I said, do you realize what's happening? And he said, no, ma'am. And I said, you're under judgment. I said, there's nothing I can do for you. And so this kid then got angry and infuriated with me for denying him what he thought he was entitled to when he had so blatantly defied the king. And God had warned him the whole time. Get your butt in gear. Get your butt in check or get out of my sight. So what happened to him? God gave him a brain disease that he's now dying from to this day. So don't you dare tell me the king doesn't speak through me or that he doesn't mean what he says. When God warns you to clean up your act, lest you find yourself dead, Lord says, I don't speak to hear myself talking. I mean what I said. This warning also goes out to the two women who frauded this ministry. The same warning you're under judgment to. Psalms 149:9. Lord says, I'm tired of dealing with you. You know what you do. You know what you've done for years to other people. When you cross their path just conveniently so that you could try to undermine and undermine the things of the king. The Lord says, I'm dealing with you too. And the Lord says, you're about to lose it all. And every one of you are about to forfeit your entire dynasties. But the Lord says this goes even deeper than this because of the people who have joined ranks with you, who've chosen not to see. This goes out to church leaders who've joined forces with these corrupt people because God says you will all go down for not seeking me. When you knew I was talking to you and you knew it was me, but you put more stock in men. And I revealed my will to you, and you still haven't repented, says the Lord. You're still choosing to live the life from within, thinking that I don't see. The Lord says, you need to repent immediately for putting your mouth on me. Not just on my servant, but on me, says the Lord. I'm the one you need to worry about, says the king. And how do I know this, says the Lord? This is what he showed me yesterday for all of you that have just come under this judgment. I saw two doorways for you. One was very, very dark, and the other one had a very dim light within it. But no matter which doorway you chose to go through, the Lord said, there'd be no help in sight. And the one that was very, very dark had very dark consequences for those choosing to go it alone. But the lighter doorway would still have consequences, but God would walk with those choosing to allow him to bring them home. But each doorway would still be dire, says the Lord, because there are consequences for not obeying the Lord. And that is a thus saith the Lord. You can go ask him if I'm hearing him. I submit myself. I've already submitted the word to our chairman of our board this morning before I came to release it to you to make sure I had her permission. A prophet submits to a prophet. And she would have said, no, don't release that. It's not of God if it weren't. Because she's a truth prophetess too. So do you understand that the heart determines the life? And only God can see the heart. But it's why God has called us to be like David's, because we know and we allow God to examine us by his Spirit. And when we do this, we have nothing to fear when we walk close to the king, when we're walking in all truth about a thing. The truth doesn't scare people who have cleanness on them. I'm not afraid. I just want to make sure I don't ever offend him. And when I do, I'm quick to repent. But I try not to do that either, because the Lord is very, very serious right now with the true prophets that he's raising up in this hour. And matter of fact, the truth prophets are starting to see who's really operating in the truth and who's operating with men. They're like, yeah, nope, we're coming out from amongst them. So God says, as he wrapped that part up, he said, I'm settling accounts today. You can take that to the back. Thanks, says the Lord. I'm a man who keeps my word, and there's nothing you can do to try to strike it down. Lord says, you're not bigger than me. Matter of fact, those of you, this is what they're doing for you truth prophets out there. You can put your prayer teams on this. What this person that's under judgment, they're a big leader, as big as TD Jakes. But and I bless him in the name of the Lord. But it's already, he's already been outed. So my point in saying this, what this person is doing is because they're unredeemed. This corrupt leader that's under judgment is unredeemed. They've never known the Lord. They pretended the whole time. And some people look like, feel like, act like, but they're not, because it's all about a heart condition. So what they're doing is they're going to redeemed churches, redeemed leaders, and they're getting them to do their dirty work for them because they know that they can't trump the king. And who would ever be so stupid to do something like that is beyond me. When you know you've seen God in a thing. So you're so arrogant. I'm confronting this person. You're so arrogant that you think you're bigger than God. My God, I pity you. I pity you. And your future is not bright at all. But God bless you. Which brings us to John 8, 1 through 20. We're talking about condemnation. And the Lord says, be careful to always seek the truth and not your version of it. Because I watch what you do. And this occurs when ungodly people try to trap you, but are then entrapped themselves because God knows how to reveal things. He allows them to go just so far. And it's what the Pharisees tried to do to Jesus when they brought him the woman caught in adultery. And the Lord had to ask them, because he wanted them to see their hypocrisy. He wanted them to see if they were operating in hypocrisy or truth. Were they really operating in him or themselves? They were operating in themselves, obviously. But this occurs when we try to point out things that we think we see in others. I'm so sorry. Without looking at our own backyards. See, judgment starts at the house of the Lord. Judgment starts with you. It doesn't start with your version of truth and trying to deflect to everybody around you to keep the heat off of you. That's what this one person did too, and many others like them. It's all starting to come to pass, by the way. So God is saying, you don't get to hide your sin. I'm dealing with you. And I'm going to make sure to out you for refusing to deal with you first. It's called not cleaning up the crap in your own backyard, but always being focused on the crap in someone else's to keep the spotlight off, to keep from others from having to see what I see in you, says the Lord. It's called double-mindedness. And how did God handle this? In the situation with the woman caught in the act of adultery, God wrote on the ground to remind these hypocrites that he wrote the law. He knew it inside and out. He was the law. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't you think he knew a little something about what they were trying to talk to him about? And what they were trying to entrap him in? They're trying to entrap the king? And he was sitting right in front of them the whole time. The whole time, yet they were so caught up in their arrogance, thinking, we know more than him. The Lord says, yeah, you win a bet? Let me just turn the tables on you, and let's see who's who, in Jesus' name. So he knew it. Jesus knew it. So there was therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because God knows his people have flaws. Jesus knows his sheep has flaws. I know I have plenty of them. But you can bet your butt I'm going to be the first one to run to him to get free from it all. So before I start being used in this capacity, Lord Jesus. But the sad part about these religious leaders was that they were too stupid to see where God was going because they thought they knew more than he. And they were completely in the dark spiritually because they couldn't see beyond their own shortcomings. So they only had the false light of the law to go by. They didn't have the light of life, nor did they know the love of the Father. They had never known it, ever. And this is the condition that we're seeing these false prophets in today and these people under judgment now. So many people, to me, have been led astray. And I was seeing this about some of the people that we've discussed today that God's had me call out for judgment, where they've had so many bad interactions with people. And this isn't this main person. This is another one of the people but they've gotten bitter over the situation. So they've tried to make other people pay for the wrongdoings that were done to them, mainly me. And I'm like, I'm not at fault for I'm not at fault for your history. That you need to get your butt in gear and get your butt into deliverance ministry to get free from the things that so easily beset you. I'm not paying for another person's sins. I can help you get free from them, but you're not going to label me with them or put those on me. You're going to be like everybody else. If you want liberation, lest God deal with you, which obviously we see now he is. And I pity these people. God bless. And by the way, the last time God had me decree judgment on somebody, where I watched it come to pass, was about 25 years ago when I was at CTTC Ministries. And when you get to the 11 o'clock hour, you're coming in to either transformation and you're going to deal with you, or you're going to come into judgment. That's the 11 o'clock hour. That's the purpose of the 11 o'clock hour. It's getting late. God says it's getting late. I've spent 11 hours prior to this point warning you about a thing, and you still haven't listened to me. So now we've come to this point in time where you refuse to align. So when you get to my vessel, I have to be true to the King. And I'm just saying what he says about a thing, whether you like it or not. You can lump it or love it or leave it. I don't care. If you're so arrogant to leave it, then you get what you got. But 25 years ago, I was used by God, and I've been used since too. Four different times I've seen this happen in my life, in my walk, where God has had me warn somebody about judgment. You're under judgment. You need to repent. And this young girl was in, she was at the ministry where the state of Texas sends them into, where they can walk out and get healed over a thing, or they can go do their time. They can do a shorter amount of time in jail and then go back out into their life. And so because she couldn't handle the warfare that it came with her calling, she was a fivefold minister too. The next thing I know, I get a call from our director, and he's like, Missy, so-and-so wants to see you. They've decided to go do the rest of their time in jail. And I thought, what? And he said, yeah, they do. And the minute I got into my car, the Lord said, she's an emergency C-section baby. You need to warn her that if she goes back out into her lifestyle after she gets out of jail, I'll bring her home. Tell her. And I thought, what? I've never had God tell me something like that before. And so I called my director back and I said, you're not going to believe this. This is what God's told me. And he said, you're 100% spot on. He said, you don't know the background. And I purposely didn't tell you because I wanted to see what God would show you. And I thought, oh, and I was horrified because now I have to go into this jail and I have to go confront this person. And I don't like stuff like that. So I was put in this horrible situation. No offense, Lord, but it was a bad situation. So I had to go in. I went in. And I sat down with her and I said, before we even start this out today, and I readied my mind. I readied my heart because I had to obey the King. And I said, the Lord said this, that you disobeyed by leaving this ministry that he put you in to try to help you. Now you're doing your own thing again. And so the Lord says, if you go back out and you do this again, he will bring you home. And she got real quiet. And I said, he said, you're an emergency C-section baby. So I went there every Tuesdays and Thursdays for 3 months. And then she got out and she had supposedly her family did an intervention with her. She apparently did some heinous things. And so she called me sobbing and I took her and she said she wanted to meet her mentor. Her sponsor, she was going to AA. But then on the way to AA, she asked me to drop off by Starbucks. And I said, no. I'm the last person to be seen with you. I want to make sure I get you to your destination so that nobody can point fingers at me or think there's something I didn't do. And she said, and the Lord interrupted me. And he said, no, Missy, let her go. Let her go. And he said, the door's been shut. And I was horrified, absolutely horrified for her. And I thought, oh my God, I just felt the sick feeling come over me because I'd never seen something like this before. And I ended up taking her there and I said, okay. I go, but you know, you need to let your mom know where you're at, blah, blah, blah. So I go home and I call the director, told him what happened. He said, okay. Sorry. And long story short, I started waiting for the call. That's what God told me to do. Wait for the call. I'll let you know when it happens. And a month later, well, actually between that time, it was 2 weeks later after that. And me and my best friend, I said, I've got to find this kid. I'm just absolutely horrified. And I don't want her to get judged. But she was already under judgment. Judgment had hit, kind of like today. There's no getting out from this now. Not at all. It's set in stone. But we found her, and she was at this young man's house who was enabling her. I'm so sorry. He was enabling her by buying her alcohol. And I went and I sat down in the chair beside the couch where she was smashed drunk watching Joyce Meyer. What a mockery. What a mockery to the king. And I looked at her and I said, so-and-so, what happened? Why didn't you call me? What happened? And she sat straight up on the couch and she said, I don't want to die. I don't want to. And I was absolutely, it was like intense. And I said, okay. I said, then you need to get your butt in gear and you need it cleaned up. You need to get back to CTTC. And she goes, no, I can't do that. And I thought, oh my God, this is really going to happen. And so then I went and proceeded to talk to the young man. And I said, come outside. You come outside with me. And I said, and who are you in all of this? I said, do you realize you're under judgment too? And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, yeah, you're contributing to her downfall. So God's also going to deal with you. You understand what you've stepped into. He said, well, she came to me. She needed help. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. Because when you're contributing to someone else's downfall, God holds everyone contributing to it accountable. You know what happened to him 2 weeks later? God, this person that was under judgment, got a bottle of vodka and pulled a bed mattress out on the apartment balcony and accidentally spilled vodka on the mattress and was stupid enough to light a cigarette. She engulfed herself in flames, the judgment of the Lord, and fire gutted that whole apartment. Hence, I got the phone call. And when I got the phone call, I was told I drove back over there because I had to see it with my own eyes. I've got the paper clippings. I'll show you someday. I'll pull the paper clippings out. I had to keep it because it was such a traumatic thing for me to go through too, even in serving the Lord. I just couldn't believe it. And I went back up to the apartment complex and I happened to run into the fire marshal and I looked at him and I didn't tell him who I was. And I said, I heard about this. Da, 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 da. And he said, do you live here? And I said, no, I don't. My friend that I was ministering to died in the fire. He said, you see that fire, or excuse me, you see that apartment up there? And I said, yes, sir. He said, that was a 5-alarm fire that gutted that apartment. It should have burned down the whole complex. And I knew it was the Lord. I knew it was the Lord. And so this is the judgment that you people have now stepped into. So saith the Spirit of grace. As we step into Psalms 110, 1 through 7. Where God's saying, focus on the real issues. What are the real issues for the bride right now if you've chosen to come inside? If you don't believe God's serious today, then you truly are mocking God when he's been showing you about a thing. Some of you need to hit your knees in repentance and pray that he hears you. And I pray that he does too. When you focus on the real issues now are getting free from you, getting free from me, getting cleaned up, getting ready for the king. And you know, a lot of people questioned how Messiah, how Jesus could be David's son, or how can Messiah be David's son and yet be David's Lord? How could that be? Well, it's the same for you and me. Says the Lord, in this day and time that we've stepped into, it's simple because Messiah has come in the form of a man in order to redeem man. He came in the same manner to show him, hey, if I can do it, so can you. And I'm going to climb up on a cross just for you to show you how it's done. Jesus was the prototype of resurrection power to step into the power of the king. It's a time of God's power, not the time of God's wrath. But he's trying to help you come out of your suffering, out of your sin, out of your generational cursings, things that hinder you from within. It was a way to show man how to love again, how to step back into God's spirit, the Ancient of Days, God's way, and not through the spirit of religion. Which allowed Jesus to become divine as well as human. And if you think about that, it also depicts our human nature versus God's ability to help man's heart to ascend into heavenly things or into God's glory from within. And so let me say this. Father, you want me to go there? Spirit said that Jesus came in the form of a man, died on a cross, rose from the dead in 3 days. Thank you, God. And that Jesus is God. There are some of you leaders out there. And God has told you to make changes in your staff, your work staff. Get Jezebel out of your house. If these people won't come out of hell, they lose their jobs. They got to get out of the house. They got to get out of the head. What happens at the head trickles down like the oil in the beard of Aaron. And I know a lot of you don't want to deal with these things. And some of you are questioning, the Lord says, because you're up underneath a Jezebelian leader. He refuses to address things. And you see the quagmire that you've gotten yourself in because it's created a very uncomfortable situation where they're questioning your loyalties. I know I'm speaking to some people out there. And the Lord says, I've been warning you again and again and again. If you don't want to come underneath the same judgment as them, you're going to come out from amongst them, Abraham. Come out from amongst them. They're under judgment. Leave. For those of you who are friends of these people, step away from the car. It's like a Viper alarm system going off. Step away from them. You don't want to get caught up in God's crossfire. He's about to judge them. And he means what he says. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Because as we choose God's glory, as the bride, for those of you who have chosen to come inside, you're starting to sense the reality of the story. You're looking at the condition of your nation. You're saying, how can this be? How is God going to redeem this? Well, for those who listen to the king, you're stepping into firepower again. Those are the ones God's going to use to help redeem time, to redeem man. Why do you think you're taking so many hits right now? Because the devil is watching you. He's seeing what you're choosing to do. And if he can't stagnate you or delay you through the shortcomings of man, he's trying to shut you down. He's trying to discredit you. But your main objective in this point in time should be to listen and obey the king, no matter what he tells you to do. So God says, I'm doing this so I can transform you to become who I always meant for you to be, which requires participating and then listening to Jesus, helping you to get rid of sin, making room for the only true king. You see, when God says less of me, more of him, that's a cliche-ish type of statement, but it's so a statement of truth. Less of me, he depletes the flesh and reignites the spirit from within. Your cleaning house with deliverance cleans house for the king. It makes room for more of the spirit. It's a time of God's power, not God's wrath. God's spirit is power. Do you understand that? That's what gives your prayer teams power to battle the occult around you. You got to get them cleaned up, which gives man victory over everything and everyone. So we only have to deal with God as king instead of God as judge. That's a key, which brings us to Proverbs 15, 8 through 10. As we wrap this up today, and I want to thank you for listening to the Rev. If this is your first time, we do these on Tuesdays. It's usually a recording now. until we get through C2 and God tells us to do something new, or Fridays. So you can join me on Tuesdays or Fridays, and we hope to see, hear from you, or whatever you want to do. But we thank you for joining us today. So this is what it says, if I can talk. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. I don't think there's any more he can say about that. I think he's been clear cut and dry. Anyway, thank you for joining me today. I think I've done what he asked me to do. And until I see you again, go have yourself a great Tuesday, and I'll look forward to talking with you Friday. But until then.